Hallelujah. And even now we agree together that things are getting better and better and better. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we totally surrender to your will and your way this morning, Father. And we just simply say, have your way. We come to worship you, Lord God, and hallelujah, and to be led and guided, Lord God, spiritually. Let it happen. Let it happen. Dispatch angels into this room, Lord God, and say, hallelujah, say to your people what I can never say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord God, we stand ready and prepared to receive whatever you got for us. Have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is just so good all the time. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, brother. You know, the question begs to be answered this morning. Has God been talking to you? Has God been telling you to do certain things, go certain ways, say certain things? And it's just so different for you that it's hard for you to respond to what God is asking you to do. I want to believe God is with us this morning. And I'm going to ask the audio visual people to set a 3-minute timer. And rather than talk, I just want silence for 3 minutes. Not as you listen to me, but as you listen to God, as to what he would have you to do next. Because that's all you need to know, what to do next. Hallelujah. 3 minutes, please. Change that to 3 minutes. There we go. 3 minutes. With our time beginning now. Thank you. Hallelujah. That 3 minutes seems so long. 3 minutes. I want to encourage you to take 3 minutes as often as you can to hear God. I'm not sure what's coming next, but I know that the only thing that matters is that you and I be in the will of God when that thing comes. Amen. And there's a possibility that you'll be out of God's will if you're not listening to Him. Hallelujah. Shut that door there. We got a hollower back there. Will you be ready when the next major change comes? We've been talking about walking with God. Walking with God. Now the question begs to be asked, because this is a last part of this series. Am I walking with God, or am I just participating in religious activities? That's a powerful question. Am I truly walking with God, or am I just participating in religious activities? Religious activities, as we've said in the past, won't really get you what you need. It may get you what you want, but it will not get you what you need. We've been talking about totally surrendering to the will, the way, and the word of God. Living our lives, hallelujah, living our lives for God. If God said it's good, then we're going to gravitate toward it. If God said it's bad, then we're going to get away from it. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
You've got to decide. We've got to decide that, hallelujah, not only are we going to live for God, but we're going to walk with God every day. Hallelujah. When people see us, they will subconsciously say, that's a saved person. That's a holy person. Amen. Not because of they see us go into a building on Sunday, but because of our whole lifestyle. That's what walking with God is really all about. I pray today that you have decided to walk with God. And when you make that decision, there is no turning back. There is no turning back. One of the challenges, or a few of the challenges, that we all wrestle with, listen, because inside of us, we all want to be, I don't know, probably more than what we really are. We want to be maybe the person that everybody is calling our names. Everybody is talking positively about us because of the things that God is doing through us. But I'm here to tell you today, as we begin this particular sermon, that it's not about our fame and fortune. It's not about who likes us and who don't like us. It's not about what club we belong to. When we get born again, we step into the kingdom of God as a child of God. And the only thing that matters is that we're doing what God tells us to do. That we're going where God tells us to go. That we're saying what God tells us to say. I don't know how much time we got. Now this week, most of us was aware of at least several funerals this week. It could have been ours. Amen? It could have been ours. We want to live as though we're going to live forever, but that's not true. And going to the other side is not a bad thing. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we just don't know how long we got. So why not just devote this time to God? Why not just devote this time to making God look good? Why not devote this time while you're here to totally surrendering to what God wants? Why not do that? Why not do that? I mean, because whatever God wants for us, if we surrender to it, it'll be 1,000 times better than what we think we want for ourselves. God is a good God all the time. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that great rewards are part of walking with God. Great rewards are always part of the package. God never called us into his kingdom, listen, so he can demonstrate another beggar in our community. God wants people to see king kids. How do king kids act? How do king kids dress? How do king kids talk? God wants to reward us for our actions toward him. And that's just simply part of the package. That's the message today. Great rewards. And I say great. Everybody say great.
Great.
Great rewards are part of the package. God will take you further than you ever thought about going. Amen. Give you more than you ever thought about having. Elevate you higher than you ever thought about being elevated. But many of us are just dealing with the here and now and the things around us. Hallelujah. The devil will always create an environment to keep you upset. Somebody say amen to that. But as you grow in the Lord, those little attacks of the enemy, those little things that he's doing won't really matter. Yes, they will affect your walk. They will affect your way you think. Yes, but you'll always be victorious. And with that victory will always come a reward. Because the battle is not ours. It's who?
The Lord.
It's the Lord's. So whenever we allow God to win a battle in our lives, there's a reward. God's going to take us up to another level. I don't care whether it's financial, spiritually, socially, or whatever it is. He's going to reward you. He's always going to reward you. Walking with God would undoubtedly result in some, what I call, earthly challenges. But, everybody say but. Walking faithfully with God always, everybody say always. Always results in great rewards. I can stand up here and laugh by it now. Hallelujah. God is just so good.
Amen.
Amen. It's not about your community. It's not about your friends. It's not necessarily about your family. It's not about your pastor. It's about your relationship with God and you being faithful to what he tells you to do. And as you are faithful, a reward is always going to follow. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. As I look around this church today, many of us are living on a higher plateau than we lived 20, 30 years ago. And if you're not careful, you think it's you. You think it's your ability. You think it's your knowledge. You think it's your skills. But it's not. It's just the rewards of God. Amen. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Very familiar passage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, sometimes even within the Christian community, you see people working and doing this and doing that, and they almost like they're working for a reward. There's nothing wrong with working hard if that's what God has told you to do. The scripture goes on to say, for he that cometh to God must, everybody say must, must believe that he is God and that he is a what?
Rewarder.
Ah, I like that. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with you coming to a point where you're getting a lot out of a man or a woman of God. You know, they're teaching, they're preaching, they're whatever they're doing out there. Hallelujah. You enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. But the thing and the person we need to be seeking is God.
Amen.
Amen? It's God. There's people that will go to no extent, go and share all kinds of wealth just to get in the presence of a person. Well, if that's what God told you to do, that's fine. but just to do it because of their charisma, you're missing something. God is the one that rewards us. I just want to share with you today several people in the Bible, come on, that was rewarded for hanging in there. God never promised us that every day is going to be sweet like honey. You're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some challenges. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because there's a devil. But you can overcome each and every challenge that comes your way. David was one of those people that was rewarded. David was rewarded for his courage. David went through a lot. He did. He went through a lot with Saul. Remember that story? He went through a lot with the Philistines. He went through a lot with the people, even some of the people he protected. And he even went through a lot with his own men when they thought that David was responsible for them losing their family. You would say, well, look, all the stuff that David went through, listen, all the stuff that David went through, you would think that either one of us would just say, look, I'm finished with this. Let me go find me a job and get hired away somewhere. But David didn't. He just stuck in there with the Lord. And it says, however, in the end, David was greatly rewarded. Everybody say he was rewarded. Hallelujah. I have not seen a man or a woman that's following God faithfully, doing what God tells him to do, that has not been rewarded. You want more than you got now? Just seek the will of God and do it. Stop trying to make things make sense to your mind. I told you, I can laugh about it now. Lord knows it didn't make sense for me to come to Hoskins. Lord, no. Why would I want it? Why? Some of you could say the same thing. It didn't make sense to my mind. How am I going to support myself? Where am I going to get a job? There's no job down there. What am I going to do? Are you ready to be rewarded today? David was rewarded for his courage. All these folks just gave David a hard time. You would think David just gave up. And some of you may be at the point of wanting to just giving up right now. Don't you dare do that. God's not putting you through some sort of test. There's a devil. But you know, we got 66 books of the Bible. Listen, somewhere along those 66 books, whatever your situation is, God's already given you an answer. You just got to find it. And with AI today, all you got to do is hit a button on your phone. And you say, what does the Bible say about finances? Hit another button. What does the Bible say about marriage? Hit another button. What does the Bible say about healing for Christians? Hitting the button. You don't even have to be a Bible scholar anymore. You can find whatever it is you're looking for and whatever it is you need. So we see David, who had been persecuted and really, really done wrong by a whole lot of folks. And he just called himself doing right. He wanted to do right by Saul. You know, when he was in the Philistines' presence, when he was running away, he wanted to do right by them. He wanted to do right by the people he was protecting. He wanted to do right by his own men. But it seemed like every time he wanted to do right, he ended up the bad guy. He ended up, folks wanting to kill him and do all kinds of stuff. But you know what David did? David hung in there. He hung in there. Hallelujah. He hung in there. One of the first things that God did as a reward for David is he anointed him king over Judah. Now, Judah and Israel were two separate nations at a time. So they were all Israelites, as you know, Israelites. But first thing God did was made him king over Judah. Now, you say, well, what's that like, preacher? Well, listen, you've been so good to God. In the United States of America, you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be president of the United States of America. You say, wow, that'll never happen. Hallelujah. Well, that's the same situation that David was in. It should never have happened. But God, everybody say, but God. God, hallelujah, has great rewards as part of the package when you're faithful to him. Hallelujah. Some of you, the destiny for some of us, hallelujah, is far greater than anybody in this room could even imagine. See, you can see that for the person sitting next to you, but you can't see it for yourself. Let me take you to 2 Samuel chapter 2 and look at the first four verses. How David was anointed king over Judah. David, in the king's eyes, was an outlaw, running away from the law, which was Saul at the time. Now, how can an outlaw all of a sudden become the king of a nation? How? I can tell you how. God. How can your situation change to where you get elevated? Come on. 100 different levels from where you're at right now. Socially, physically, financially, or whatever. God, that's the answer. God is a great rewarder of those that want to be faithful to him. Are you with me? God's not going to every Christian church and looking at the roster and trying to see who all came that Sunday. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking to see who has been obeying his word. Now, coming to church, it's just a result of him telling us to go to church. And he's already told us that. And he's already selected a certain church for you to go for this season. So that's what he's looking for. He's looking for obedience. Let's look at the first four verses of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Oh, I like that. Went to God, said, what do you want me to do? And then he said, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Now, this was after Saul had died. And David was the outlaw. He said, should I get off to any of the city of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go on up there, boy. And David said, whither? Which place shall I go? And God said, go into Hebron. So David went there. And his two wives also. Hallelujah. Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, that was Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. Look at verse 3. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household. These were outlaws. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there, look at this thing here. And there, a transformation took place. The Bible says, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. How do you go from being an outlaw to the king? How do you do that? But God, amen? Don't you dare be afraid of your situation, what you're dealing with now and what you've got to go through. Don't dare, because God's going to bring you through. And then when he brings you through, he's going to elevate you. He's going to reward you. God is a good God all the time. And they told David, saying that the men of Jezreel Gilead were they that buried Saul. So they accept him as king. That's a reward. That wasn't about those people. That was a reward from God. What has God got for you? What has God got for you? Well, I don't deserve God. Well, who deserves God's greatness? Who? Who deserved God's greatness? There was a time in our lives, all of our lives, when we didn't walk with God. We didn't walk for God. We may have thought we were, but we didn't do it. We were doing what we wanted to do. And I know if the truth was told, some of you have done some things that you may not want people to know you did. But now you are a new creature in God. And if you be faithful to what he tells you to do, he will reward you. Don't you want that reward? Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. And then you know what he did after anointing him king over Judah. He anointed him king over Israel. At the time, there were two separate nations, but they were all Israelites. And I'm going to take you to 2 Samuel 5 in the first five verses there. See, we need to understand this thing. Some of us are struggling so hard trying to get to the next step. You don't have to struggle. Just do what God tell you to do. You don't know what needs to be done, so why don't you just ask God? Why don't you position yourself so that you can hear God? You can hear his voice. And then be obedient to that, doing that. God, listen, God's got the capabilities of elevating you from the janitor, from being the janitor to being the CEO of the company. See, I know somebody don't believe that. God's got great rewards as part of the package. Don't you want those rewards this morning? Let's look at 2 Samuel 5, verse 1 through 5, where God anoints David king over all Israel. Then came all the tribes of Israel. Now you got to understand at the times a different nation, but one at the same time. All the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh." Also, now they want to remind David, said, "We know who you were. Also, in time past, when Saul was king, you was he that led us out and brought us in. And the Lord said to you, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So," everybody say so. "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord." Now look at this next point. "And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign." I think David was about 16 years old when he first went to Saul to play that little music he played when Saul was stressed out. So here he is, 30 years old, 14 years. So we see that David went through 14 years of mess. You know you don't want to go through no mess. 14 years of mess. 14 years of trying to be nice when people still dogging you. 14 years of folks trying to kill you. Somebody trying to get rid of you. 14 years. And then God says, enough is enough. Are you ready for your reward? Amen. Are you really ready for your reward? Amen. Hallelujah. Won't you agree with God that enough is enough? Ha ha. But you got to realize it's him that's going to do everything. Once again, in verse 4, it says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years till he was 70. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. God is in the rewarding business. Don't you dare get to the point where you think it's about you, about what you're going to achieve. Listen, you need to achieve what God got for you. That's it. You need to let God achieve through you whatever he wants to achieve. We need to give up totally and say, God, I'm yours. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. Come on. I'll be who you tell me to be. Are you ready to make that statement to God? Are you ready? That's what this whole thing's all about. You can go to somebody building 55 Sundays, but there won't be no change till you change. Till you totally surrender to God and say, God, have your way. As long as you make it real to me what you want me to do, I'll do it. I don't care how impossible it seems to my natural mind, I'll believe you and I'll go in the direction you tell me to. Amen. Are you ready to be rewarded today? Hallelujah. 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 I was sharing with my wife, I said, the first 7 years that I was here in the hospital, hallelujah, I was ready to go. I was ready to go every day, every week, every month, every ha. But when I tried to make my move, God said, I ain't tell you to go nowhere. Sit down, be still. And I knew enough. I knew enough about God to know that I had to do what he wanted me to do, not what I wanted to do. And I can look back now and I realize how much God has rewarded me Oh, wow. I wish I could tell you how he's rewarded me. But he's rewarded me. Not because I'm all that. No. Simply out of faithfulness to God. Don't you want to be rewarded today? Don't you want to stop trying to make it happen? Amen. Relax. Relax. Look at somebody, tell them relax. Relax. We don't want to relax. We want to do something. We want to make it happen. David couldn't make it happen. He had to trust God. Joseph was another one that was rewarded for his faithfulness. Remember Joseph? Amen. Joseph had been mistreated by all of his environment. Joseph had been mistreated by his brothers. You know the story. Joseph had been mistreated by Potiphar's wife. You remember her. And then he was mistreated by Potiphar. Potiphar put him in jail. Then he was mistreated by Pharaoh's cupbearer, who didn't do him right. Once he left the prison, he forgot all about Joseph. However, in the end, Joseph was highly rewarded. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Ah! Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. Please tell that to somebody next to you. Don't you dare give up. The reward's going to come as you hang in there and believe God, trust God, and do whatever he tells you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it says, however, in the end, Joseph was greatly rewarded. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 41. Look at verse 39 to 41, those three verses. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, this was a guy that Pharaoh called out of jail. Hello? The boy was in jail. He wasn't even an Egyptian. He was in jail. He was in jail. And it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this that you showed us, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. He says, therefore, thou shalt be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. He said, the only person in this whole country that's going to be greater than you is me. A jailbird. An Israelite jailbird from another country. Pharaoh didn't do that. Who did it? God did it. God did it. God created the circumstances, hallelujah, for Joseph to be used magnificently in front of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, my God, my God, my God, who is this? Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get this knowledge? I can tell you where he got it from. He got it from your God. And when you need it, God will give it to you. All he wants is faithfulness. 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 Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil trick any of us. Listen, to where you start acting on your own, you're going to get in trouble. Amen? God is a good God all the time. He told him, he says, listen, in verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. I tell myself, listen, before I die, I got to write a book. Even if I don't publish it before I die, amen? Because some of the stuff I may not want known before I die. But I got to sit down and write a book, not about what I did, but about what God did, amen? Because I'm an eyewitness to what God can do and wants to do for each and every one of us. All you got to do is be faithful. What does that mean? Do what God tells you to do. That's what that means. And he left us 66 books of the Bible with instructions. Another person that was rewarded because of their faithfulness was Daniel. Daniel was rewarded for his uncompromising stand. You got to read the book of Daniel to see what he went through. See, Daniel was challenged with a command to compromise his belief. The enemy wanted him to compromise his belief. You got to read that book, especially the first couple of chapters of it. They wanted Daniel to do what wasn't what God wanted him to do, especially when it came to his diet and other things. However, in the end, Daniel was greatly rewarded. Oh, there is a God, folks, and it's not us. It's not us. Don't you want to be rewarded by God? Hallelujah. You got to get to the point, let me tell you something. You got to get to the point where you don't care what people think about you. You got to get to the point where you don't care who's talking about you. Only thing that matters to you is what God's saying for you to do. The only thing that matters to you is where God's telling you to go. The only thing that matters to you is what God is telling you to say. You got to get to that point. Because if you don't, let me tell you, the enemy will control you through other people. God is a rewarder of them that are faithful to him. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, one verse, it says, then the king made Daniel a great man. We know who made him a great man, but God always uses people. And he says, and he gave him many great gifts. And made him, look at this, and made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Daniel was a slave. Ah, come on now. Taken from another country. He was a slave. Now you say, how in the world can slaves be in charge of part of the country? And he also goes on to say, and Daniel was chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Don't tell me what God can't do for you. Great rewards are part of the package of walking with God. Great reward. God will take you higher than you ever thought about going. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep you there longer than you ever thought about staying there. God is a good God all the time. I don't know why people rather have religion than to have God. Hallelujah. Just let go and just get to the point where you say, well, I'm not going to do anything until you tell me to do it. I'm just not going to do anything until you tell me to do it. Can you do that? Can you follow God? Can you wait on God? Well, preacher, I got to do something. No, you don't have to do anything. Just wait till God tell you what to do next. God is a good God. You know another person that was rewarded by God? That was Paul in the New Testament. Paul was rewarded for his suffering for Christ. Paul was one of these religious guys. Thought he knew everything. He probably knew a lot. But he didn't know more than God. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says this. But the Lord said unto him, now I got to stop right here. This is about God telling one of his people in the town that he had converted Saul, to go talk to Saul. Tell him this and tell him that. Give him some instruction that I'm giving you. And then the scripture opens with verse 15. It says, but the Lord said unto that person, go your way. For Paul, he says, for he, but he's talking about Paul. For Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. For Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. For Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. Some of you, if not most of you in this room, are chosen vessels unto God. But you're examining yourself based upon your concept of who needs to be chosen. Amen? Paul was a chosen vessel unto God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm slowing down here a little bit because I want that thing to get into your heart, into your mind. Because see, for most of us, you really don't believe you're chosen. You may believe that the preacher is chosen, or the evangelist is chosen, come on, or the prophet is chosen, but you don't believe you're chosen. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I got to write that book. Let you see who God will choose. Amen. He will choose anybody that's totally ready. Totally ready to surrender all. Are you ready to surrender all to God? Are you ready to be used by God? Now, if you don't want to be used, God's not going to make you be used. He's not going to make you be used at all. He's not. I told you that story before when I didn't want to come to Hoskin. I was praying in my house in Virginia Beach, and God said, if you believe it's me talking, then get up, pack this mess, and go to Hoskin. If not, forget it. I heard God's voice just as loud and clear as anything else. I got off my knees. I started packing. And the same thing applies to you today. If you don't want to be chosen, God say, forget it. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to harm you. I'm going to just choose somebody else. Amen? Do you want to be used by God today? Anybody here want to be used by God? Raise your hand if you want to be used by God. Father, you see them. You see the hands. Amen? Ah. God said Paul was a chosen vessel. Paul was rewarded with the privilege of witnessing to the known Gentile world. Nobody had done that back prior to him. He was also rewarded the privilege of writing over half of the New Testament. Over half of the New Testament. Paul hated those Christians. He hated them. Wanted to kill every one of them that he could get his hands on. Hallelujah. But he had an encounter with God, and he surrendered to God. And God took it from there. Oh, I'm so excited today because I know God. Listen, if you're hearing this today, it's because God wants to take you to another level. He wants to award you for your faithfulness. For your faithfulness. It's coming. Look at somebody and tell them it's coming. I want to close this thing, listen, with a few requirements for receiving rewards. What I got to do, preacher? What I got to do? Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. If God can use me, I know he can use you. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. I say it again. If God can use me, I know he can use you. He's just waiting for you to just totally surrender and stop doing things your way. Because when you do things your way, you shut the door to God. Because both ways can't work at the same time. Either your way gonna work or God's way gonna work. And the devil will tell you in a minute, you better do something. Come on, your opportunity is passing by. You better do something. And I'm telling you today, no, you better stand still till you hear the voice of God. If you got a question, go to the Word. If you got another question, get on your knees. But whatever God tell you to do or whatever the Word tell you to do, do that. Be faithful to that. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. Anybody here want to receive these rewards that I'm talking about today? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm a walking example, living example of this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Boy, I wish God could let me tell you all the good things he's done for us. But maybe in time, read the book. Read the book, amen? I'm gonna leave the book. Read the book. Read the book. And the reason I can't give you the book now, because if you read the book, you'd be saying, you mean he did that? You mean he did that? But God. Everybody say, but God. But God. God is a good God all the time. All the time. Some requirements for receiving that reward. First of all, you need to stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, therefore, brethren, Stand fast. I mean, no wishy-washy stuff. You're with God today and you're doing your own thing tomorrow. Stand still. You're either with God or you're not with God. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by the word or by our epistle. Stand firm. Don't be wishy-washy. If you're going to be for God, be for God. There's some confessing Christians, they will change up, depend on who they're dealing with. They will change up. They will go along with wrong when they know that's wrong. Stand firm. Just stand firm. Listen, I'm going to say this again. You're going to die anyway. All right? Unless Jesus come back early, you're going to die anyway. So why not die and go out of here doing the will of God? Amen? Dying is not a bad thing. We miss people when they die, you know, because they're close. That's an emotional thing. But dying is just a transition for you, those of us that know God. It's just a transition. It's just like moving from Hertford County to Berthier County. That's all it is. That's all it is for us. Now, for those who are not saved, that's another issue. Amen? So the first requirement you got for receiving those rewards is stand firm. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be a good person with these people and a lukewarm person with these people and a bad person with these people. Don't do it. Be the same person all the time. The second requirement you got is be faithful. Everybody say be faithful.
Be faithful.
Hallelujah. That means, listen, be faithful to God. Whatever he told you to do, be faithful. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 said, moreover, it is required in stewards, everybody say that's me, that a man be found faithful. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can conquer, seeing who he can make mess up things. Be faithful to God. Come on now. Live this thing. But the devil's game has not changed. He has not changed in all these years. Remember, he went to Eve and he basically said, and I paraphrase this from the wording, he basically said, try this. He's talking about that forbidden fruit. He said, try this. And that's the same game he's going to try on you, and that he's tried on me, and that he's probably tried on you too. He'll always come to you and say, try this. Come on now. Try this. Whatever that thing is, and you know it's not something God wants you to be messing with at the time, then you got to be strong enough to say no. And you got to be faithful enough to your God. Amen? When we use that word faithful, even in a marriage relationship, we think about that word faithful, where a husband is faithful to the wife and the wife is faithful to the husband, which basically means when I'm faithful to you, to your way, then there is no other way. If I'm a faithful husband, then there is no other woman. If the wife is a faithful wife, then there is no other man. If I'm faithful to God, hallelujah, there is no other way. There is no other way. Amen. Only God's way. So be faithful. The third thing that you can do, the third requirement, is to be obedient. Everybody say be obedient. Now this is where we get to wrestling and struggling and stuff. Come on, God hasn't left anything out of that book. Anything you want to know about, you can go to that book. And once again, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. All you got to do is have a phone, press a button, ask a question, and it'll take you to that scripture where God said it. Be obedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, for this end also I did write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Are you going to do what God tells you to do? Or are you just only going to do the things that make sense to your mind? Are you going to be obedient? Let me hear you say, I'm going to be obedient. He's not asking you to be obedient to your pastor. Amen. He's saying being obedient to him. To him. He puts pastors in place to lead the flock, just to lead the flock. And if their hearts and minds are with God, then they're going to always lead you in the right place. But he asks you to be obedient to God. The fourth requirement is be courageous. Everybody say, be courageous.
Be courageous.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, have not I commanded you? He's talking to Joshua. He's telling Joshua, have not I commanded you? And he's talking to you and he's talking to me. He said, be strong and of a good courage. All of this whining mess. Stop it. That's what he said. He said, be not afraid. Oh, that's right there. The devil's got us sometimes afraid of certain things all the time. That's of the devil. You need to understand that. Fear is not of God. He said, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. What's the rest of that say? Wherever you go. We've got to get a revelation. We've got to get a mind change of what this whole thing's all about. Now, since you're saved, the Spirit of God lives inside you. And he wants to lead you, hallelujah, and direct you and counsel you. So be courageous. Be strong. Don't be afraid. No matter what the devil brings your way, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we see our children going in a negative direction and fear sets in. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Speak to that situation. Command it to be the way you want it to be. The fifth requirement is be willing to endure. Everybody say that. Be willing to endure. Sometimes we want to give up so quickly. So quickly. So quickly. So quickly. I told you a million times about my grandmother who always prayed, Lord, help that boy. 32 years she did that every single day of her life. She said, Lord, help that boy. I heard her praying, Lord, help that boy, please, please. She didn't give up. Hello? She didn't give up. But sometimes we get so frustrated with the situation or with relationships not going right or whatever it is, we want to give up and we want to go another way. You have to be willing to endure. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you. Remember Saul in his first great battle? And the man of God was late coming. And Saul took things in his hands. And he offered the sacrifice unto God. I had somebody else do it. Why? Because he wasn't willing to endure. He wasn't willing to wait on God. Are you willing to wait on God today? I don't know what God is doing here in Ahoskie. Are you with me? I don't know what God is doing here in Ahoskie. But those of you that are hearing the word of God, God's expect, hallelujah, he's expect you to totally release your will to him. God is doing something. He's building up, and those that will hear and listen and follow God's going to be greatly rewarded. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. This is Jesus talking. He says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But, everybody say but. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth to the end. Come on now. I know things happen and seem like God has forgotten you, but I can guarantee you God has not forgotten you. We don't see all the many pieces. It's like putting together a 5,000-piece puzzle. Now, that's a big puzzle. And all you got in your hand is just one little piece. And you've never seen the picture. And you don't know where, you know, it's not like it come in a box with a picture on it. You've never seen the picture. All you've got is one little piece. I want to tell you, God has seen the picture. God knows every little piece and where it goes. You don't know. So just hang in there and endure. God hasn't forgot you. He hasn't left you. Don't take it up on yourself. If you endure, then great rewards will come to you. Great rewards is going to be a part of that package that you'll experience with God. The sixth requirement to God is to be patient. Look at somebody and say, be patient.
Be patient.
Ah, yes. See, so many people make so many mistakes. Number one, because they don't want to endure. And number two, they don't want to be patient. They don't want to be patient. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. For they that wait upon the Lord, everybody say, that's me. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Yes. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. You hang in there with God. You hang in there with God. And materially, you're going to wind up with more stuff than you ever thought about having. I'm telling you from experience. I know what God wants to do for you and through you. He's looking here and there and everywhere, north, south, east, and west. He's looking for those that will just believe his word and totally surrender to him. I don't know where God wants to take you because I can't see all the pieces. But God does. But I know that if you just surrender to God and do what he's telling you to do, listen, that great rewards are part of the package. It's going to come. It's going to come. The seventh and the last requirement, hallelujah, if you're going to experience these rewards that I'm talking about today, is you need to follow the Spirit. Look at somebody and tell them that. Follow the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for many as are led by the Spirit of God. For many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm always telling you to what? Follow the peace. Follow the peace. If you're going in the wrong direction, if you're saying the wrong thing, come on now. Come on. Then you won't have a peace. You really won't have a peace. If you're doing something that God don't want you to do, you won't have a peace. Not if you're hooked in with God, you can't. You can't. Now, if you can do all the ungodly things that your body and your mind want you to do, listen, and it doesn't bother you, then chances are you don't have what you think you got. And you need to get it. Amen? You need to get it. I can't imagine. I can't see the great big picture of everything. I just can't see the great big picture of everything. But there's a come a time when we will see a big picture. The Bible talks about us knowing as we are known. God has great rewards for you. And the rewards are simply part of the package. You got to be faithful. You got to endure. You got to be obedient. You got to follow the Spirit. You got to make up your mind what team you on. Are you on your own team or are you on God's team? Follow the peace. Once again, look at somebody, tell them that. Follow the peace. Follow the peace. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, you've heard your words that I've delivered unto your people. Now, once again, Lord God, hallelujah, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for everybody in the sound of my voice, including those that listen, hallelujah, on YouTube or wherever they're listening at, Lord God. We know that you have a perfect plan for their lives. Now, Lord God, just like you're leading and guiding me, just like you've drawn me from my past to my presence, Lord God, you want the exact same thing for the rest of your people. Father God, let them be more and more sensitive to your voice. Let them, if nothing else, let them make up their mind that they're only going to do things, hallelujah, that comes as a result of peace that you give them. Father, let them receive the rewards. Hallelujah. And when the rewards come, Lord God, let them be reminded that you are the author, hallelujah, and the giver of those rewards. Don't let them be tricked thinking it's about them and their achievements. Hallelujah. It's about you and what you're doing. Now, Lord God, I call these people, Lord God, at the next level. Whatever that next level is in their lives, let them receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good all the time? Come on, give him some praise. Give him some